Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, gosh dang, would you look at that? Maybe Rob Brown knows what the hell he's talking about. I'll be darned. Looks like Trevor Lawrence and them Jacksonville Jaguars ain't no joke. What a Monday Night Football. What a Monday Night Football game. Lonzo, I am very sorry to you, because that's a hell of a football game and a brutal way to take the L, but a hell of a football game.
I don't know why you're sorry for me. I came to a realization last night. I thought that this was just internet hype. I thought that that it was made up. Someone made it up, and people just latched onto it. But there were Duval patches on the referees' stripes. I saw the secret handshake. Everyone knows that the referees are for Jacksonville. They have always been for Jacksonville. And thanks to the internet for wisening me up. To the point that that referees can be on the side of a team, and again, I tried to shove all that stuff away. It's just internet crap that someone made up, and now I know it's true. It absolutely is true. The referees in the NFL love Trevor Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the secret handshake. You did. They do this pinky thing at mm-hmm. the bottom when they shake the hand.
Okay.
Yep. Intertwine the pinky. I can't do it with two. I mean, I would shake your hand, but I don't want to. It's obvious.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure the outcry will be what it has been for years about how Jacksonville got all the calls they got last night. And I can't wait to read about it. How Kansas City got screwed again by the referees who are pro-Jacksonville.
You know, I do have to say that after all of these years, it has gotten very frustrating watching the NFL's media darlings, Jacksonville. It's been rough. It's been rough.
I mean, it's got to be hard for you since you dislike Jacksonville, and I'm starting to think that that might be the real reason. It's the preferential treatment that the referees give Jacksonville at the NFL, the leeway that they give them, the things that they were allowed to get away with last
mm-hmm.
night,
mm-hmm.
and that's the deep-seated reason why you hate Jacksonville. And now I get it. I understand. My eyes are wide open now, and going forward, I will lead the crusade against the referees and their blatant backing of this team from Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, listen. Between redheaded women and the Jacksonville Jaguars, there's nothing but cheating in that city, man. Like, I get it. I understand. Jacksonville, for as long as they have been a franchise, have just gotten away with murder on the National Football League scene. I mean, this is why Jacksonville has been in the national limelight as an NFL dynasty for like 40 straight years now. It is because in games like last night, poor little underdog upstart teams who are just trying to prove the narrative about them wrong, little bitty teams trying to get to the next level, like the Kansas City Chiefs, keep getting stabbed in the back by officials who continue to allow the absolute iron fist of the Jacksonville NFL darling Jaguars to just get call after call and get ahead. It's frustrating.
I'm not going to deny that the Duval patches are not pretty sweet. I don't know if they had a major Maybe Nike or someone designed them for them.
No, Roger Goodell did it himself.
I don't know. I don't know if Roger has those skills, but he does have the power to ask, you know, Oregon to take care of it. So, yeah, it's unfortunate, but since it was on a national scene, maybe there was one right there. Listen, maybe eyes will be open.
There is one right there. Yeah,
that's obviously an interception and taken away by those by those dirty referees.
Yep.
So right there, Trevor Lawrence was touched when he went down.
Mm-hmm.
They pretended like he was not touched and let him get up and score the game-winning touchdown. This is all things that that I could be really upset about, but I'm not because my eyes are open now.
If you would like
When you have a great awakening, you can be mad at yourself for not seeing it, or you can look forward into the light that you have been shown and walk towards it and find a way to make things right. I mean, that's all you can do.
I just want to take a moment to say how proud I am of you, Zoe, for being able to look at the injustice perpetrated upon the NFL fandom, the absolute evil that is the tyranny of Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars, a franchise that dating back to the Mark Brunell days have just done nothing but run this league with the help of a global conspiracy. I am relatively sure that Vladimir Putin is involved in this.
Well, this would be before Putin. I mean, this was way back.
No, saying it's rotating through. I am sure that Gaddafi was involved in this at some point. I am relatively sure that the great tyrants dating back to somewhere in the early 90s have all been involved. I'm relatively sure Gorbachev was involved in this. Like, he was one of the founding members.
Gorbachev, not Gorbachev. I think Gorbachev did play for the Russian national hockey team. Here's the thing. I think you're making light of me. I think you're kicking me while I'm down. I finally see the light on something that you've known for a long time, and now you just kick me in the ankles. And I'm going to be all right. And I think the world has seen it now, and maybe changes will be made. To the script, I don't know, maybe. The NFL script writers, I'm sure, are really good and highly paid. Maybe they could be a little less subtle going forward. But I think the villain was revealed last night, and now we know.
It is absolutely not something that I would do to kick a man while he's down. I am being as sincere and genuine as I can. I feel for you that you are the most recent to watch the authoritarianism that is the National Football League's love of the Jacksonville Jaguars, a team that historically has just always had the officials on their side. I mean, just dating back to forever and always, have just always had the refs, the commissioner. I wouldn't be shocked to find out that that the commish was on the phone with Elon. He was on the phone with Steve Jobs. He was on the phone with Jeff Bezos. He was on the phone with George Soros. This is the one thing that even the billionaires across the entire political spectrum, they all have one issue and one thing in common. And that is doing everything in their power to push the agenda of Big Jaguar. It's always been the goal. It's been writing on the wall. And you do have to say, even with the recognition and understanding that this is a global conspiracy to take down the rest of the NFL by those in power, by pushing the Jacksonville Jaguars on us, and doing so in what is very clearly and evidently a high-level psyop situation. You thought chemtrails were bad? Oh, no. You thought water, You thought chemicals in the water to turn the friggin' frogs gay was bad? No, no, friends. The real conspiracy out there is the plot by the lizard people and the Martians on the same side in this one, believe it or not. See, two entities that could not be further apart. The lizard people, and I'm not, this is bona fide radio. I've heard it. We are shaping national policy with radio like this. I am locked in, all right? If you thought that the Jewish space lasers were bad, you've seen nothing yet. The global conspiracy to push the Jacksonville Jaguars to the top. It's unlike anything I've ever seen before.
Thank you for proving that you are a part of this, because what you're doing is you're taking the narrative and trying to make it so outlandish, so far out there, so impossible that it makes me look like a conspiracy theorist, and I'm not. I saw it. We all saw it. And I mean, Jewish space lasers? Come on, dude. It's
hey, that was a real thing that a congressperson said was a real thing. So that's every example I just said was a real thing that got said
just
by real
as
people.
Real as me watching who is the smart guy in a wheelchair?
Stephen Hawking?
Yeah, I'm just watching Andre the Giant pull him out of his wheelchair and slam him while drinking a pitcher of beer.
AI's gone too far. Yeah. Can we come back? Can we circle back around to that? AI's gone too
Although
far.
Although him on top of the cage coming down and knocking someone through a table was great.
Yeah, we've gone too far. Last night I saw an AI match between Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit, and I'm not kidding you, immediately closed my phone and set it face down. I'm like, nope, I don't need this evil in my life. I don't need this juju in my life.
I'm guessing they probably actually wrestled a bunch of times.
No, this was 1,000% an AI. I've also seen, I saw yesterday Bob Ross versus Mr. Rogers in an AI match, including cutting promos on each other.
Yeah, it's the new Sora thing.
Yeah.
It's the thing that I showed you with Pikachu.
Yeah, yeah. I despise it with every fiber of my being.
Did Bob Ross win?
I haven't seen the end of the match yet.
Okay.
I saw him cutting promos at one point, including Bob Ross looking at Mr. Rogers and going, the only happy little accident is that you've made it this far. The next canvas I paint is this mat with your blood. I was like, nope, I'm done with the internet, dog. We've gone too far. We've gone too far. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome in the Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. And yes, indeed, I do know ball. Told you yesterday. I think Jacksonville keeps this close. Upset, not going to shock me. I don't think it's going to be a shock to be close.
Wait, is he being led to the ring by Marilyn Monroe?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, and Mr. Rogers comes out with...
another Marilyn Monroe.
No, he had somebody...
Maybe James...
No. It was
Jay Mansfield,
Anna Nicole Smith.
Oh, that's who was with Bob Ross. Okay.
Bob Ross comes out with Anna Nicole Smith, and Mr. Rogers comes out with Marilyn Monroe.
Okay.
AI's gone too far, and I got to say, I think we have to kill it. I think we have to kill AI. I have been Team AI for a very long time. I'm like, hey, there's some good things here, but I also saw a couple of days ago an AI of, and I'll give you an example of how I know we've gone too far. I saw an AI clip of Jake Paul. Did you see this one?
No.
An AI clip of Jake Paul doing a makeup unboxing and tutorial and announcing that he's gay, and it is totally artificial intelligence, but I went and I looked down at the comments and came to the conclusion there's a lot of stupid people on the internet.
Well,
people were eating it up.
We discussed this Saturday night. Here's the thing. We've reached a point where, and I always have to look up two or three sources before I believe anything, because AI is good enough to make it look like that's a real report. And there are some people who probably still read The Inquirer. No offense. It's entertaining.
Bat boy.
It's still entertaining. Those people are going, I saw it. It's true.
I know.
It's true.
That's what I'm saying. Stupid people on the internet. It's wildly frustrating. Wildly frustrating. All right. Eric said, is there anything else to talk about? No, Eric, there's not. 4 hours of Jacksonville Jaguar conspiracy theories. I mean, sorry. A valid, not to be criticized,
all right, when did he
genuine
send,
and
when,
legitimate.
When did he send the text?
Three minutes ago.
Okay. So
3 minutes ago.
All right.
4 hours of absolute valid, definitely not conspiracy theories about the National Football League having a decades-long desire to push the Jacksonville Jaguars as the face of the league. It's right there in front of us.
No, here's the thing. If you don't agree with me, then obviously you don't agree that that's a thing. So if you don't agree that that's a thing and you were one of those people who said that last year or the year before, you need to look at yourself. That's what you need to do. You need to look at yourself. All you Kansas City's refs, look, and all the AI of the quarterback kissing the referee and all that kind of stuff, okay? You guys are the problem, all right? Kansas City lost last night because of penalties, because they were undisciplined. It's something that you don't normally see for them because a pick six was thrown. They had a chance to win it. Their defense wasn't able to stop Jacksonville from going down and scoring the final touchdown. Is it over for Kansas City? What's the most they've lost by? Six? I mean, it's just the things that they were winning, the games they were winning the last couple of years, they're losing right now. So, and again, I think a part of it's being undisciplined. I think another part of it is they don't have everybody on offense yet, but I believe next week they will. We'll see. Good on you. You were right. Jacksonville looks pretty good, but Kansas City is now 2-3. So Jacksonville just beat a losing team.
No, so, Jacksonville made them a losing team. They beat a 500 team.
Okay. Well, anyway, who is the leader in the AFC right now? You could have said Buffalo, but who did they lose to like the other night?
The New England Patriots.
That's right. Baltimore. Look at them. So there is no. This is a parody you people wanted. Okay.
Correct.
Who's the AFC front runner right now? I guess you can say Jacksonville. Can you?
I mean, by the leaderboard, they are empirically, along with the Indianapolis Colts and the Buffalo Bills, empirically, those are the top three teams in the leaderboard right now. Of course, Pittsburgh is 3-1, but they had the bye this week. So
the Chiefs are done, and I am curious, all those people who said that the referees were in their pocket and everything, what happened? Can you explain that to me? Did the contract run out? I mean, what? Where were they last night?
Did the contract
Because the Chiefs could have used them last night. They absolutely could have.
Did the contract.
Where are those people? Where are those loudmouth losers who said that Kansas City paid the referees and the script and all that stuff? You guys are all idiots, okay? Where are you right now? Where are you right now that the Chiefs are losing? Are you going to say that they heard our outcry and now they fixed it? Is that what you're going to say? I want to know where you are because I don't hear you. I don't see you. What happened? Do you have laryngitis? I mean, did you get arthritis? Why do I not hear or see anything from those people?
Well, it's a new year. It's a new year. It's somebody else's turn. You know, it's kind of like when you're a kid and you are growing up and you know, all the attention of the folks is on you, but eventually mom and dad have a new baby, and now you're just kind of like, you're just the older kid now. Now you're just the older child. In fact, not only you're just the older child, like you were expected to help raise the new kid up, right?
There are times when your sibling, like a brother, is just better than you. I mean, deal with it.
That felt personal. That felt personal. Hey, we got a lot to get to. We do need to break that game down. Last night, the Jaguars 31-28 winners over the Kansas City Chiefs. Trevor Lawrence carrying around a set of stones on him late in that game last night.
Stumbling around and
into the end zone. And
yeah, he was able to get back up. No, he was. But it wasn't exactly a graceful win, but a win nonetheless.
If an offensive guard steps on my foot, I need you to know I'm in the hospital for 8 to 12 months. That man scored a touchdown. I'm not here to hate.
We can recreate that. I'm offensive line size
again. I'm good. Because, again, I need a hospital.
You're not as tall as Trevor Lawrence, but you're close.
TL also ran 10 times for 54 yards and a pair of touchdowns. And last night, I think we kind of saw We to some degree saw the coming out party of Travis Hunter as well. He had a couple of moments last night. So we'll talk about this game and the fact that once again Rob Brown was right, telling you the Jacksonville Jaguars are not a joke this year. You're welcome. We'll get to that when we come back here in just a minute, though. I was going to save this story for hour number two, which is our busy hour, but I'm going to get to it here because I find it very, very interesting. The Auburn Tigers have made a decision that is going to cost their fans the ability to see their team play at home. But why did they do it? And is it good or is it bad? That's how you set up a radio segment. Is it good or is it bad? I'll tell you when we come back. I'm Rob. He's Lonzo. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. Let's get it, people. This is the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So Auburn, I haven't heard it yet. Yet. You never know.
I was talking to Auburn.
Auburn has decided that they are going to take an opportunity away from their fans to watch their team play a Power Four game at home in person. Next season, Auburn has a home game slated with Baylor. That game was set to be played in Opelika, Alabama, on the beautiful plains of Auburn. However, it now won't be that. Why? Because Auburn has decided on their own that they are going to move that game away from Opelika to Atlanta, Georgia. And it will be part of the AFLAC / Peach Bowl college football kickoff. Now, why would they do that, you might ask, which is a wonderful question to ask. Why would they take a game slated to be played at the crib and move it to Hotlanta and take away a home game from their beloved Auburn Tiger, War Eagle, and other various nicknames and mascots here, fans? We now know the answer. Auburn has elected to move this game in order to provide their athletes with NIL opportunities connected to it. Athletic Director John Cohen said, quote, "Anytime we have the ability to advance Auburn student athletes' ability to earn third-party NIL compensation, we will take that opportunity. The exposure of playing on a national stage against a Power Four opponent in one of the premier neutral site games in the country will not only benefit our student athletes financially, but it will also enhance their brands." So they will be playing in the Peach Bowl, the Peach Bowl Classic kickoff, the thing South Carolina played in this year. They will be playing against Baylor in that game. You will recall that Baylor and Auburn opened this year against each other. The Tigers went out to Waco, Texas, and won 38-24. Next year's game originally scheduled to be played at Auburn as the second of a home and home. Now, there is one benefit here in that, as it is still going to be run by Auburn and be an Auburn home game, Auburn will receive an allotment of 20,645 tickets. Baylor will receive the SEC standard 3,000 tickets held for visiting teams. The AFLAC kickoff game will sell the remaining inventory. So the initial reaction I had was, sucks for the fans. Sucks for the fans a lot. You got it. You had a home game. You had a Power Four team that was coming to your crib. And granted, Opelika, Alabama is not stupid far away from Atlanta, Georgia. You could, if you were ever so committed, make that a day trip. Get to Atlanta, go to the game, assuming it's a day game. Get to Atlanta, go to the game, turn around, hoof it back to Opelika if you wanted to. So it's not, in that capacity, an enormous deal.
Yeah, but isn't this like when the WWE took WrestleMania away from New Orleans and moved it back to Vegas?
No. And I'll tell you why.
Same thing.
I'll tell you why. Because that move was done for one reason and one reason alone, and that was solely to benefit the stockholders, the owners of WWE. This move, I genuinely believe what Auburn is saying. Because Aflac, in these kickoff games the last couple of years, one of the things that they have done is they have created around the game itself, both around the students and around the city of Atlanta. They have created a bunch of opportunities, public appearances and different showings and this and that and the other, that they can sign one-time NIL deals with these players to show up and be a part of. And so Auburn is going to get to count that amongst their NIL contributions to the team.
Okay, so is this going to be a common thing in order to if you come and play for our team, we guarantee you money because we're going to go to this thing where everyone's going to get paid, not just the quarterback or the best defensive player, but everyone. Everyone's getting paid because we're going over here to play in this Aflac thing.
That is part of the conversation, without a doubt. Because if you are, and this is nothing new to the NIL conversation. If you are a college football program, yes, you want to be able to look at recruits and transfer portal players and say, this is the amount of money that we have been able to generate in name, image, and likeness for current players. And if you come here, especially if you are a staff, if you come here, you will have the opportunity to get a chunk of this pie. And the bigger the pie is, the bigger dollar amount is attached to each slice of it. So, yes, that goes a long way in that direction. And I do wonder, down the line, if we get to a point where, because that is what is happening here, so you can't say, oh, Rob, this is a ludicrous take. It's not. It's literally what we are talking about. Is there a point down the line where college football teams start selling their games? Do we see a college team become college football's version of the Savannah Bananas? Like, all right, we're going to play 3 home games instead of 6 or 7, and our other 4 home games are for sale. You can buy our team, and we will take that money, and we will put what we need to put into the travel and accommodations and all that, and all the rest of it goes into NIL or goes towards our rev share or whatever the case might be. Do we see a spot where teams start to say, if you would like to see us play in person, Aflac, Geico, whoever, send us a check for X million dollars, or as Aflac has done, create a set of, I don't know, festivities or whatever around the game itself that our players can sign individual NIL contracts and come be a big part of it. Do we see a point where a team goes, our games, our home games are for sale. You can buy our home games. We have 7 on the schedule. We're going to play 3. And if anybody else wants one, you can bring whoever. Ohio State football. Probably not the biggest of the big, but let's pick a mid-tier school. You can bring the Washington Huskies down to Dallas, Texas. Jerry Jones. There you go. There's one right there. Arkansas. Arkansas needs money. Arkansas needs money. Could Jerry Jones say, I'm going to create the Cotton Bowl kickoff? We're going to call it the Dallas Cowboys Cotton Bowl kickoff. And teams are going to be invited to come down to Dallas to open up their season. And in return for that, I'm going to use the power and the leverage of the Dallas Cowboys to create a bunch of NIL opportunities for these players to make money while they're doing this thing. And if I'm Arkansas and I have 6 home games, if Jerry Jones says, I'll put whatever is legal worth of NIL down on the table to get that to happen, if I'm Arkansas, I kind of have to say yes to that, right? Now, there is another aspect of this that Keegan, noted Auburn Tiger fan, just brought up in the chat, and this was the second part of the conversation in the direction I was going. He said, it is an hour and a half away, but it is going to be such a hit to the city and businesses. And that is absolutely correct, especially in a place like, and this isn't intended as disrespectful, I don't think it is, but there are some college towns. Auburn is one. Gainesville, Florida is one. There are plenty of college towns where the college is the town. It does not exist without the college. And that doesn't exist, at least to some degree, without the economy propped up by a football team, by home games. Like, there may only be six or seven, but those six or seven, especially at a school the size of Auburn, those six or seven of them, home football games bring millions of dollars to the economy. I would go so far as to say, I don't think this is a shot. I've been there a handful of times. I think I'm a pretty accurate judge here. Clemson's one of those towns. Like, Clemson is the college. It doesn't exist without the college. And Clemson football brings hundreds of thousands of dollars. Hundreds of thousands of people who bring, I'm assuming, millions of dollars into that local economy and revenue. There are people who live in Clemson just so that football works, just so that Clemson athletics works. So this is, without a doubt, a gigantic blow to the local economy of Auburn, but it is a sacrifice that the Auburn Athletic Department has decided is worth it. They have now, at least this one school, has said, the ability to grow our NIL distribution to the team matters more than our home game contribution to the people who live in and around and support Auburn. Here's the thing. I don't know that that's wrong. Let's talk more about this as the show rolls on. I'm Rob Brown. He's the Great Milanza. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So Auburn has decided that they are going to move their home opener next year. It was slated to be a home game in Opelika, Alabama, hosting the Baylor Bears. They went to Waco this year. Next year, Baylor was scheduled to return the favor and travel to Auburn, Alabama to open the season. And Auburn has decided that they are going to move that game to Atlanta, Georgia, to be a part of the AFLAC college football season kickoff festivities. And they have now said that the reason is because the AFLAC kickoff game will provide NIL opportunities, money-making opportunities for their players throughout the course of that week. AFLAC and other sponsors put on a variety of events that players participate in, that players have the opportunity to sign contracts to participate in, and therefore to make some money. And so Auburn said, anytime that we can take advantage of an opportunity to increase the amount of NIL revenue that our players can earn, we are going to take that opportunity. But of course, in order to take that opportunity, Auburn had to sacrifice a home game, a season-opening home game. I don't care if you know your team is going to be booty cheeks. Season opener, if you're going to go to a game, The season opener is the game you are going to go to. So it is a season opener. You are talking about question mark of millions of dollars that will not be pumped into the local economy. And while it is obviously just an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever it is, from Opelika, Alabama to Atlanta, Georgia, I have to imagine that there are a solid chunk of Auburn fans in Opelika who can't make it to Atlanta for a game for whatever reason they can't make it to Atlanta for a game. So effectively, we now know that for at least one football program, being able to get their players NIL money is a higher priority for them than making sure that those hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars are pumped into that local economy. But I was thinking about this during the break. The big question that I had was, do we get to a point where we start to see college football programs effectively auction off their home games? Because that's what we are looking at here. If I am a college football program and I know that I've got my first game of the year at home this year, do I put it up on the auction block and give Aflac and Geico and Dr. Pepper and whoever else, Mass Mutual of Omaha, Ford?
How is this any different than what they already do for those kickoff classic type things?
I don't know that it is.
It's just that they're promoting it this way?
It's just that this time it is not for the benefit of the school, right? Like, Auburn's not saying we are doing this because we are going to get an influx of X millions of dollars into the program. And I would like to point out that, just for the sake of being the absolute hippie that I am, accused of being sometimes, never before have any of you called any of my shows and said, Rob, I'm really upset that South Carolina, Clemson, Alabama, LSU, Florida, Florida State, whoever, I'm really upset that my school is giving up a home game in order to get X millions of dollars pumped into the program. So I'm going to work under the assumption here that now that Auburn has said we are going to give up a home game so that X millions of dollars get pumped into the actual program, the football players you all care about, I'm going to assume there will not be a complaint about this, because there's never been a complaint about it when those teams were giving up a home date in order to make money for the team. But now that it is for the players, I genuinely hope there are no complaints, because I would ask, why is it okay for the school to do it, but not to do it for the benefit of the kids who are playing football? But we'll put that aside and we'll come back to that. I did have another question, though, and this one is probably less impactful. It's really just a curiosity regarding the business of sport. Like, does Baylor have a say in this? I mean, if I'm Baylor, even though I'm still only getting the 3,000 tickets that I would have gotten if this game was still in Auburn, I'm going to say yes if I'm Baylor, right? Yeah, I would rather go play in Atlanta, in a bigger stadium, in an NFL stadium.
And also be showcased.
And be showcased on national television, and do so in a way that, even though we only get 3,000 dedicated tickets, Auburn only gets 27,000 tickets. That's 30,000 out of the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, which I believe holds like 77,000. So, in fact, let me. I think it's 77,000. 75,000 for special events, up to 83,000 for major events. So let's say 77,000 tickets. 30,000 are accounted for. That's 47,000 tickets that are up for grabs. Do I expect that Auburn is going to own the majority of those seats? Yeah, no, of course I do. I absolutely do. They'll sell out their 27,000, whatever it is. And then when Aflac, who is in charge of the other 47,000 tickets to this game, when it is time for distribution, they'll be on the open market. Which means that it is easier and much more likely that you will get a combination of Baylor fans and independent fans. Perhaps you get a handful of Georgia fans who are like, yeah, I can't stand Auburn. The game's in Atlanta. I'll go to that game. I'll go there and be a Baylor fan for a day because bleep Auburn, that's what we do. I mean, if I'm Baylor, I'm saying yes because what home field advantage they would have had in Opelika, Alabama, that could be some degree mitigated by having this game in a neutral site. But I am curious as to how that decision works. Does Auburn have to call Baylor and get them to agree to it? This was a contracted home and home with Baylor, where Baylor says, we will come to your stadium for a game if you come to our stadium for a game. Does Baylor have to sign off on this? Is it just simple as amending the contract and saying, yeah, home and home, but what that really means is a game where you decide we play a game and a game where we decide. I don't know how any of that's going to work.
Wouldn't it be easier to get there than it is, you know, they're normal
place. I mean, I don't know.
Airports and stuff. I don't know.
All of that is interesting to me. It may not be to all of you. It is interesting to me.
Maybe in the end, you just don't have a choice. When you are the away team going to another place, you go wherever that team's playing.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, does the contract say one game in Waco and one game in Opelika, or does the contract say one game at the venue of your choosing and one game at the venue of our choosing, and Auburn just chooses to play in Atlanta instead of playing in Opelika, whereas Baylor didn't say, let's move this game to Jarrah World. Let's play this game in Waco. We want to play this game at our crib. And I assume that, despite the fact that they've got a pretty good alumni base, I'm going to work on the assumption Baylor was looking around and going, the revenue coming into Waco, Texas, on a Baylor football home game day, especially on opening day, and especially on opening day with an SEC team coming to the crib, the millions and millions of dollars coming to Waco, Texas, are more important to us versus Auburn, who's going, we're fine on money. We're catching an SEC paycheck at the end of the year for 70-whatever million dollars plus. Plus the cut that is distributed from the 7 teams that are going to the playoffs this year. Plus the cut from this and that the conference gets. We're getting a lot of money. So we can trade a little bit of home game revenue to make sure that our NIL numbers look good. And again, I one more thought. And a lot of this is just, I don't know that we'll ever get an answer to it. But one more thought. Auburn right now, as Keegan is putting on full display in the chat, by saying, and I quote, if only the funds would go toward Hugh Freeze's buyout, which is fair. The question I have now is this happening because Auburn stinks? And for the record, they don't stink. All right, they're not as bad as you're making them out to be. They're like a blown call away from being a one-loss football team. I do think they're going to lose a couple more, but they're not awful. But the Auburn fans are very clearly a bit upset. The natives are restless, so to speak. Is it possible that Auburn is looking and going, okay, our football team is not where we want it. We are not in the position that we want to be in. We are not living up to the expectations that we have for ourselves. And therefore, our NIL funding is not where we want it to be. Are they looking and saying Alabama is reporting this much in NIL and we are at 50, 60, 70, 80% of that? That's not good enough. So in order to get our NIL where it is on par with Tuscaloosa or Georgia or Florida or whatever school we're talking about, in order for us to get our NIL income, revenue, whatever you want to call it, to where it needs to be, we are willing to sacrifice a home game. We are willing to sacrifice that money into the local economy in Opelika, Alabama, in order to get to a number that makes us look better than maybe we do on the number sheet compared to our direct competition. It just feels like there's a lot to this. It does. But, like I said, the biggest takeaway for me after this announcement that got dropped yesterday, the biggest takeaway from me is very simply that we as fans have now been told by one program, and I do not think they will be the last. They are the first. I don't think they'll be the last. Auburn fans. I shouldn't say we as fans until other schools start to do it, though I do think they eventually will. Auburn fans are being told, especially those that live around the school, maybe have season tickets to home games, maybe went to school in Opelika and then stayed there afterwards because they loved the school, whatever. Auburn fans are now being told that your love of coming to an Auburn football game in Opelika, Alabama, your love of coming and tailgating on the plains and enjoying a game at our stadium is secondary to our ability to put NIL on the table for our players. And for the record, okay, I mean, I get it. Like I've said before, it is a tough reality to get smacked in the face with. But none of you have ever watched an athletics department budget meeting. You've never done it. None of you have ever watched a school's president's conference. None of you have ever tuned in to hear the athletic director have a meeting with the athletic department. None of you have ever gone out of your way to find those live streams. You tune in to watch football players play football and nothing else. Nothing else. So, Auburn saying, yeah, we don't want to give up a home game, but we've got to maximize the ability for Auburn Tigers to make money in the NIL world. And in order to do that, we are going to give up a home game and give up the millions of dollars that would go into the local economy because we need to get those millions of dollars into the pockets of our players. That's what's happened here. All right, we'll talk more about this later on the show. Hey, speaking of season-altering announcements, South Carolina made one about a home-and-home yesterday as well. Was it as jarring as this one? We'll tell you about it in the next hour. Your water cooler cheat sheet, top three sports stories you need to know up next, and then it's all sports. And also, would you take a trip to Las Vegas' most haunted hotel for $5K for a free weekend? Because I really want to, and the wife's threatening me with divorce. I'll tell you that story later. We'll see whose side is going to be the winner. I'm Rob Brown. He's Lonzo. And this is a championship caliber sports flash.
Let's talk about the thing that has Clemson fans in the building watching NFL highlights. Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville, true story, Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars are 4-1 after 31-28 win over the Kansas City Chiefs. Lawrence completed 18 of 25 passes for 221 yards, a touchdown and a pick, and ran for 54 yards and a pair of touchdowns. In the MLB playoffs, the Dodgers took a 2-0 series lead with a second win in Philly, 4-2. Blake Snell went six innings with just one hit, striking out nine. The Milwaukee Brewers took both wins at home for a 2-0 series lead over the Cubs with a 7-3 win last night. All seven Brewers scores were home runs. Rookie Jacob Mizrisky got the win with three innings of relief. Atlanta Braves GM Alex Anthopoulos told the media that while the team hopes to find a replacement for manager Brian Snitker, the team hasn't conducted any interviews for the position. We'll get to it eventually.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.